Hi, I'm Candace Fitch, Portfolio Manager at IAIC, and welcome to this episode of In Focus. Today, I'm joined by Oliver Lee, Vice President of Life Insurance and Living Benefits at Independent Accountants Life Insurance Agency. Welcome, Oliver.
Hi, Candace.
So today we are back with some more questions about insurance. I answered a couple of those commonly asked questions from, my network of people last time, and we're back with some more. We'll jump into the hard questions here. So, another one that came up frequently is, I have a medical issue and won't qualify for life insurance. How do we tackle this one?
Yeah, this is a common one, and first of all, I'm very pleased to be answering these questions to really help clients through insurance. I know that it can be a very confusing and a maze, and unfortunately, the industry at times, well, let's be honest, probably a lot of times they don't really help. They don't make the insurance easy for clients to understand. So very happy to for you to kind of bring these questions forward. I think this is great. This is why we're here. So yeah, this first question about medical issues, being very honest, insurance, the medical component is important. You do have to qualify. So typically when you apply for life insurance or disability insurance, you will go through a telephone interview, and that telephone interview by the insurance company is collecting your medical history. So that medical history can certainly have an impact on whether you're approved or not. But the important thing that I share with many clients is, first of all, you don't have to be a triathlete to qualify. Many of us don't have a perfect a medical history, and that's okay. The insurance company is not looking for a perfect health. They understand that people aren't in perfect health, and that's okay. So, having said that, certainly if you have a significant medical history, then yes, that will have an impact, and it may even mean that you may not be able to obtain a traditional life insurance. If you do fall into that bucket, there are other options available as well. There are insurance companies that offer a guaranteed insurance product where you don't have to provide any medical, you are a guaranteed approved. However, the trade-off with those products are typically there will be a limit, and as well, typically they will be a little bit more expensive. So really, when we work with clients, that's going to be option C. Option A will be to explore the traditional products, and then option B may even be able to take that product. It's only when those first two options are exhausted, then we look at option C. The final thing is, if you do think that, oh, geez, I'm not sure where I may fall, is it option A, option B, option C? One of the things we can do is we can get a preliminary assessment. So if you call into our office, give us a little bit of your history, we can reach out to some of the insurance carriers to find out what potentially would be an offer or the assessment in your situation.
And what would help mitigate some of these risks? I know obviously you can't help if you have an underlying medical condition a lot of the times. Does being younger help?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, for sure. Candace, that's a great point. The younger you are, typically you've probably have had less medical situations come up. Therefore, your probability of getting an offer, getting a standard offer, is obviously much higher than perhaps if you were older. So certainly, if waiting to purchase life insurance, if it's something you know you need and something you know that it fits into your financial situation, absolutely don't wait. Because the longer you wait, you're right, these medical conditions can then have an impact on whether you actually qualify.
Fantastic advice. The next question here talks about bad experiences from others. So, someone had a bad experience seeing their parents being taken advantage of. They bought a plan that didn't pay out when the time came. So could you explain to us what scenario or what situation this might occur in?
Yeah, I don't know, to be honest with you, Candace. Yeah, I would probably want to get more information. However, having read that question, how I interpreted that question is certainly there's a lot of failed expectations. So I think when it comes to insurance, a lot of people are turned off because of a poor experience that they've had, where perhaps they were expecting insurance to do a certain thing, or for insurance to pay out, or for insurance premiums to stop, perhaps, and that didn't really happen. And in those situations, I have to blame our industry and blame the folks that worked with the clients originally, meaning I don't think they did a great job explaining the product, explaining, setting the correct expectations, and perhaps was too focused on selling a product as opposed to really helping their clients understand how it worked. And I say all of that because, again, that's the sole purpose of why we're here. Why we were established and created to begin with was to, we recognized that this was the issue with many of our clients, and we really wanted to provide the right advice. That's why we're here. Now, having said all of that, you know, to your point, in what situations where perhaps this may come, and, you know, it may be likely that they're, the clients were referring to disability insurance. With disability insurance, there may be some situations where there is a difference in opinion and whether a client is disabled. So those may be arising, whereas, you know, if you're focused on life insurance, that's, to be very blunt about it, it's pretty black and white on that one. So that could be part of it, but I'm thinking more than likely it's really more the expectation. Like I think the advisor probably did not explain the product properly.
Wonderful. So in this case, you know, best advice to everybody would be, know your product, ask good questions, make sure you fully understand what you're signing up for before you sign anything.
Yeah, absolutely. And really it all should, all of this insurance, and we really haven't maybe talked about this, or maybe we talked about it in part one. Insurance is a piece of the larger puzzle. So I know, Candace, you've done some podcasts, obviously, on investing. That's another piece of the puzzle. And the thing that brings all the pieces of the puzzle together are the financial plans. So really, before you kind of get into the insurance and get into the detail of this, it really should be started with a financial plan.
Exactly. All right. This is the hardest one today. How can life insurance be used to help a family farm transfer to only one child?
Yeah, this is a great question. And maybe, Candace, you know, these questions came from your network. Is there any other information you can share about this client? You know, what type of farming are they in? Tell me more about their kids.
Absolutely. So this is one where there's four kids. It is a chicken and cash crop farm. So they have lots of acreage. Only one child is interested in taking over the family farm. So how do we make sure that that's equal for all kids?
So thank you for sharing the additional information. And that information you just shared, I would say it's certainly very common. Agriculture, farming is certainly a lot of many clients that we work with. And that scenario that you've painted is, again, very similar to other client scenarios that I have worked in. And in those situations, you know, the parents have kind of recognized that, yeah, you know what, one child is going to get the farm. We want to do something to help out the other children that aren't going to receive the major portion of the net worth. And life insurance is certainly a very good tool to do that. for two reasons. One is it can provide the capital exactly when it's needed. So typically, again, you're going to equalize with all the children when the last spouse passes away. So you can structure a life insurance policy that matches that timing. And then secondly, from a cost perspective, those premiums for the life insurance policy can be paid by the farming corporation. So instead of the mom and dad paying it out of their pocket, we can actually have the corporation pay for that. So I ran a sample premium just to kind of give our audience an idea of what this may cost. So for two couples in their 60-year-old couples, both non-smoker and standard health, $1 million of death benefit is about $13,000 a year. So it's not outrageous. It's certainly a very viable and realistic solution to help, again, the mom and dad potentially equalize with the children that aren't getting the farm. Now, the one thing that I would say, and the one thing that most clients would say is fair, equal is not necessarily fair, or fair is not necessarily equal. So, you know, if the farm is worth $5 million, it doesn't mean that you have to give each child $5 million. Certainly the child that's getting the farm has to work for that $5 million to maintain it and grow it, whereas the children that are getting an inheritance are typically getting that in cash, and there's no strings attached, and they can do what they want. So again, many of our clients have recognized that fair is not equal, but they also recognize that zero is also not appropriate either. So insurance is often a very good tool to help with that.
Right. Fantastic. Well, thanks for answering these questions. We do have more, so we'll just let everybody know, stay tuned for part three of our insurance Q&A. But thanks, Oliver, for your time and your insights today. We really appreciate it. If anyone has any questions, feel free to reach out to myself or Oliver or your financial planner.